My name is Maria Jimenez, and we're on the corner of Harrisburg Boulevard and Cesar Chavez Boulevard, once known as 67th Street. I think this is an important place to start because this is where, in fact, Magnolia Park, the neighborhood, began to be promoted in 1909 by the Magnolia Park Land Company. And it also coincides in 1910 when the Mexican Revolution created conditions where many Mexicans left to avoid the violence and the conflict and came here to Houston and began to settle in this part because of the work close to the ship channel. Eventually, Magnolia Park, of course, was annexed and it became part of Houston, Texas, but this boulevard becomes very important in this particular corner because it was kind of the focus of promotion for the development of this area back in 1909. But I particularly wanted to walk what now is known as Cesar Chavez Boulevard because it symbolizes a great deal of the struggle of the Mexican origin population, not only in Houston, but in Texas and nationally. I'm walking toward the corner of Capitol and Cesar Chavez. And the reason I'm walking toward that corner is because this is the site where we all assembled in the year 2000 for the very first Cesar Chavez parade, which takes place every year down the Cesar Chavez Street and ends up in Hidalgo Park. And it was a struggle by many community people to name this street Cesar Chavez. It was led by neighborhood person Benny Martinez, who's very important to LULAC, the League of United Latin American Citizens, and the Tejano Heritage Society. Because there was opposition. There were people who did not want to name any street in the neighborhood Cesar Chavez. It was interesting how businesses reacted, particularly because they saw it as a cost. They had to change their stationery. And others because they felt that Cesar Chavez was not the appropriate model to follow for their children because they wanted their children not to be farm workers, as they expressed in community meetings, but to be professionals and move away from this area, from the avenues, as they would refer to this part of town, to areas like Mason Park or Idlewood. So that also about the complexity of the Latino community and its needs. In the year 2000, this street was finally named Cesar Chavez. And so a small group gathered, and we began the march toward Hidalgo Park. It was interesting because the organizers decided to focus on military heroes and heroines. Important because, again, there's a sort of the larger society denies that the Mexican origin population has contributed anything to democracy or the establishment of this country in foreign wars. And of course, statistically, the Mexican origin population won the highest honors during World War II and subsequent wars. And so it was a way that particularly those people who had been in the Korean War and the World War II reasserted their dignity and their place in history. But it didn't do much to assert Cesar Chavez's place in history. By this time, almost 30, 40 years had passed since Cesar had been a known civil rights leader and labor leader throughout the nation. And many young people didn't know who he was. So I think their first impression was that Cesar Chavez was not a labor leader, but a military leader, because it was so focused on military heroes and heroines. Nonetheless, the parade has grown year after year, and more and more labor unions participate in neighborhood organizations, schools, and so it has become an important affair to mark one of the most important civil rights leaders of modern U.S. history, and I think the most important civil rights leader among the Mexican origin population in the United States in modern times. Cesar's struggle began when he, of course, having been born in Yuma, Arizona, his family lost his family farm, and they had to move for California, where he understood the suffering of people who have to migrate and understood the effects of poverty and the inequality when having to work in those farms in the agricultural industry in California, where they eventually went to. As a young man, of course, he did join the Navy and then came to California, where he joined the community service organization and he learned community organizing. And he and a group of young organizers decided to go into the agricultural industry of California, which is very important and significant, okay, and began the process of organizing farm workers into a union. This was 1962. In 1965, the Filipino farm workers in California went on strike and urged the then organization that Cesar Chavez, Dolores Huertas, and other organizers had already begun to form, the National Farm Worker Association. And so they decided to join the Filipino workers in their strike and began the first national effort to actually get farm workers into a labor union and to demand justice in the different farms that were farm workers concentrated on picking grapes. Because of the difficulty of sustaining the strike, one of course the most important strategy developed by what then became known as the United Farm Workers was the use of a boycott. And so what this meant was they sent organizers throughout the country to the different cities and began to ask groups, including people here in our neighborhood, not to buy the grapes of the different farms where they were organizing. And of course that had an impact, because as consumers refrained from buying the product of the different farms where they were organizing, this pressured the growers into having to negotiate with the union and attempt to meet the demands that the farm workers had with respect to better working conditions and better living conditions on those farms. It took many years. In the process, of course, here in Texas, the United Farm Workers sent organizers to Stark County, and in 1966, almost parallel with a strike in California, we had here in Texas what was called the Mellon Strike in Stark County. And I'm talking about that because this street also symbolizes that particular struggle for justice among agricultural workers. But it was here in Texas. And many, many, many people here in Houston joined. Churches collected food for the striking farm workers in Stark County. People sent supplies and aid. People went there. And when the strike was broken violently by the Texas Rangers and the farm workers decided to march from Rio Grande all the way to Austin, many people here in Houston participated, including getting together a bus and going down there and marching with the farm workers, who started their march on July 4th, 1966, and ended up in August in Austin with over 10,000 people supporting them. And so that's also important, and why the story of Cesar Chavez in California is also the story of farm workers in Texas, but it's a story of the unity of different sectors in the Mexican origin community and other communities to give people a better life. And so it symbolizes all of that together. I wanted to continue walking and crossing over to where we started, because in effect it is the walk of history of the Mexican origin community to defend its rights, in a sense. In the 70s, particularly in 1974, this was a street that many people walked to register voters, and the creation of an independent political party for the Mexican origin community that was very significant in Texas. It was called the Raza Unida Party. It was a time when the poll tax ended, And it was a time when we were trying to encourage people to see themselves as viable political actors, but viable only when organized independently and from the grassroots up. And so in 1974, the Raza Unida Party began a process of what now has become fairly common, door-to-door campaign, knocking in all of these neighborhoods, walking to encourage people to participate in the process. The elections took place. Raza Unida in this area received 19% of the vote. It did not win, but it was a significant effort in terms of designating political independence and establishing this particular political activity of walking and knocking on doors and asking people for their support and asking people to become involved in their own destiny. We're going to continue walking this street because later in the 80s, there would be a very important event in Houston's east side. It's 1982. There was a confrontation between two individuals and the Houston Police Department where one police officer died. And the police basically circled the neighborhood around Eastwood Park looking for the two individuals, killed the person who had shot the police officer, but then arrested the second person, intimidating the neighborhoods, making them people lie on the ground, telling people not to testify as they had seen events happen, and arrested the one individual they had found, which was Ricardo Aldapeguerra. And I think this is another significant struggle that this street is witness to, because many mobilizations occurred after that in defense of Ricardo Aldapeguerra, and they took place on this particular street. So we're passing Avenue B on our way, our walk of history and struggle of the Mexican origin population. And Ricardo Aldapeguerra is important because it's the first very visible international struggle for justice. Ricardo was from Monterrey, Nuevo León. People here in the community began to have marches in order to try to defend his rights. And people in Monterrey, in the place where he was from, Tierra y Libertad was the name of the colonia, also held simultaneous marches. So it became an international example of what people can do when they join forces to achieve justice. It took many, many decades to exonerate Ricardo Aldape. He was finally set free in 1997. Where he was released and went back to Mexico. Unfortunately, dying in a car accident there. But the issue here was that the community was outraged about the misconduct of the police, the misconduct of the prosecutors, the fact that they dressed mannequins during the court trial, inside the court. The Klan marched outside in hoods. As the jurors, the public went in to see his trial. So in many ways, it was one of the first examples of where the community joined together to fight the stereotyping, the injustices, particularly because Ricardo was always referred to as a wetback, an illegal alien, were the common terms that dehumanize people that come in from other nations that are not the United States. But then the community life continues, and one of the most important marches down this street was in March of 2010. 1,000 people gathered to demand reform in immigration laws, particularly to legalize the many residents of these neighborhoods and other neighborhoods in Houston and throughout the nation to become legal residents of the United States. And this was March 21st, 2010. It coincided with one of the biggest marches to Washington, D.C., which 100,000 people showed to this march in Washington, D.C. But simultaneously, neighborhood organizations, community-based organizations, and others marched down this street to Hidalgo Park, also claiming the right of human beings to be recognized equally in their rights and in their dignity. And so now, every year, on different parts of this street, people begin that parade called the Cesar Chavez Parade. And it's to remember this great civil rights leader, but it's also to remember the place of the Mexican origin population and people everywhere who struggle and stand up for dignity, for justice, and for equality. So this is an important walk to make down Cesar Chavez Avenue and all the streets that cross it, because with every street we cross, every step we take, other people have taken walks, steps, and crossed in an effort to create a society where all human beings are recognized in their equality, their rights, and their dignity.